All right, what's up? The vibe that's going on in here right now is insane. I feel like it's like a half day at school, one of like an assembly at school, and everyone's just like crazy, like not even paying attention to like the teachers. Please pay attention to me today. But it's a really cool time in here right now. And for those of you who don't know, raise your hand if I don't know you yet, speaking of like you are a new ninth grader. I just want to get a lot of faces. Wow. All right. Let's get to know each other for a little bit. I don't do this enough with even HSM in general. Like I know you guys probably know a lot about me because of the stories I tell or whatever. I don't know enough about you. Let me just do this first. Everyone, draw. Where's my really 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 pretty wife? At the moment, sleep deprived wife Whitney in the back. Everyone say hi, Whitney.
Hi.
Now everyone say hi to my new baby. He's in that stroller. This is Benjamin's first time at church. Say hi, Benjamin. She's sleeping. What are you doing? No, that wasn't very full of love. I kind of feel. Thank you. I appreciate that. By the way, ladies, I don't even think Ryan knows this. She's going to be joining the leader team this next year. Just saying. She's pretty great. But I want to get to know a little bit about you guys. All right. So I got a couple questions. Now I can tell a lot about. I can tell a lot about people by what's on your name tag. What's your biggest fear? So I need to know some of these things. What this is a safe place. What are we dealing with today? What are some of our biggest fears? What's right here? Needles. Yes. Very afraid of needles. Who else is afraid of needles? Did anyone else write needles down? Common. Okay. What are some other ones? What are some other fears we got going on here? Snakes.
Girls.
Good one. What is that? Seth wasn't afraid of anything, he said, so his greatest fear is finding out what his greatest fear would be. Yeah. Intelligent. I like that. Well, a couple more. Some of our fears.
Ryan Guard.
Is Ryan here? What? Cat. I'm not afraid of him. I just don't like him. Okay. Hypothetical situation. This also says a lot about you, okay? If you're at the movies... If you're at the movies, you got a choice of four candies. Milk Duds, Sour Patch Kids, Hot Tamales, or, what am I missing? Reese's? Okay, Reese's. Okay, what is it going to be? Like, in unison, Sour Patch Kids. Was there a Milk Dud in the room? Okay. This is good. We're getting somewhere. Last question. For those of you who are going to camp, you more of a top bunk person or of a bottom bunk person? Okay. Why top? Why top? You feel superior? Is that it? Oh, hello. Hello, all of you. I'm looking down. All right. Speaking of camp, I just got a quick story. I gotta tell this one. Speaking of camp, it brings me back to junior year of high school camp that I went to with church. All right, never gonna forget this one. During free time, we had this thing called the Gauntlet. It was in the guys' dorm. There was this thing called the Gauntlet, and it was like a we stayed in a college, so there's just like this 100-foot-long hallway. All right, and so here I'm gonna set it up like this. Point A. It's right here at the very end of the hallway, and I've got to get from point A to point B at the very other end of the hallway. Sounds easy, minus the fact that there are armed and ready to plummet you with pillows and couch cushions and chair cushions lying on each side, just a bunch of people wanting to just, like, destroy you. And so I'm, like, little dweeb, like, 120-pound, like, Johnny. I'm a small guy, but I can take a hit. I'm ready to go. I'm thinking, I got this. 100 feet, I'll be down there in like 10 seconds. So the Gauntlet, you'll see why it ended after this year. I started running, just boom, 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 just getting, I'm taking it. And then all of a sudden, at the very end, lights go out completely. Like the lights go out. And I woke up, someone was going like this over my head. Johnny, follow my finger. Yeah, we got dilated pupils here. Yep, oh, you're gonna throw up? Okay. The lights went out metaphorically. Some genius with wet jeans in their pillow. Someone put wet jeans in their pillow, just like, Johnny, boom! Just like back of the head. I hit the ground, concussed. Down. down for the count. Next day, doesn't get very much better for me. The next day, I do like what I feel like is a great idea. We're packing up. I think I'm a little bit more desperate for attention at this point. And so I'm like, hey, there's an empty duffel bag. I'm going to get inside it. Hey, zip me up. I'm going to get inside it. Put me next to all the other bags. And I'm gonna bark like a dog. As everyone's like loading the buses and everything, I'm gonna just start barking like a dog. It's a great idea. I don't know where I thought of it. And so I'm barking like a dog, and people are picking up like, oh my gosh, someone brought a dog. And I'm barking. And some kids walk by, they kind of give me a little kick. I'm like, I growl. One kid doesn't like dogs, apparently, so he kind of starts doing this a little bit more. I'm like, and my growl's getting deeper. I'm like, stop. He's just like kicking me more and more. And finally, I don't know why I did this, but dogs bite. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to bite this guy. So I go, ha, and I take a bite out of it, whatever his foot is. He pulls out a pen and shanks me, like right in the arm. So I'm like, hey! Your question is, who shanks a dog? A cat, I understand. But a dog, mind you. So I'm like in the double bag, like, get me out of here. And it was a good week for me. I got concussed and shanked all in the same week. And my hope and prayer for you guys, if you're going to camp this next week, my first prayer is that you do not get concussed and shanked this next week. Yeah, but my other prayer really is that like it's going to be an incredible camp full of memories, and that you guys grow closer in your relationship with God. And if you don't know God yet, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, then praying hard. A lot of our volunteers, our leaders, we're praying hard that you guys will step into the incredible life that Jesus wants you to live. And maybe it's this next week. But here's the deal. As a community of HSM, something's going to happen this next week. And I'm not just talking individually. I'm not just talking spiritually. Something will happen as a ministry. You'll notice we'll come back a little bit different. This ministry is going to feel a little bit tighter. It's going to feel a little bit, just united. And it's going to feel better. It's going to be a tighter community of believers. And I thought as this transitional period is happening, we've got a lot of new freshmen. And some of our past seniors are gone. Some of you have risen to the top, and you are now seniors. There's just kind of a lot of work that needs to be done as far as the community aspect. Things are a little bit different, and so I feel like, let's hone in on this idea of community today. Right before we enter into the summer, right before we go to camp, right before all of these things, let's talk about the importance of community in a ministry. Because as a pastor in this ministry, that's one of my biggest passions, is this concept of community that we're going to talk about. So I hope you see my heart today. Can we get some of our leaders to pass out some Bibles? If you don't have a Bible, put up your hand. We got some leaders. We got Kyle. We got Kirsten in the back. We got some people passing out Bibles. If you want the real thing, if you're like, this phone, nah, I don't want the real thing, put up your hand. We'll get you that. Let's talk about something really quick, because we're in a generation. We're in an age where we've been tricked. We're in a generation, and we're in an age where even though we're more connected with more people than ever before, like ever before in history, we have this ability to connect with so many people. It seems like this concept of community, this concept of like deep relationships, is probably worse than it's ever been before. And in an article written in Psychology Today, because I just wake up every morning and I read Psychology Today magazine. It stated this, that even though we're more connected with more people than ever before in history, we are more lonely and we feel most forgotten than ever before in history. So we've kind of been deceived into thinking that because we have so much connectivity with people, we're able to reach out and connect with so many deep people in a matter of seconds, that means that we have relationships with people. And you might have heard this before, but literally in a matter of seconds, some of you guys have thousands of Facebook friends. You can kind of see what's going on in the Facebook world with like thousands of people. You can hop on Instagram and in a matter of seconds go, sweet, he's doing that. Oh, he's vacationing here. That's what you're eating for lunch. I don't want to see any more food photos. Blah, blah, blah. Like, all of these things, you can connect and figure out, man, what's everyone doing? What's everyone like? All of these things. But it's kind of tricking us into thinking, man, it's building these false relationships. Connectivity does not equal community, necessarily. Community is not just what a group is, it's what a group does, too. Guys, this is HSM now. This is, for some of you new students, this is your ministry, this is your group, this is your community, and it's not just what we are, but it's what we do, too. Okay, so let's talk about why community is such a big deal. If you do have a Bible now, please go to Genesis. If you're new here, it's super easy to find it, just first couple pages of your Bible. Go to Genesis. I'm just going to show you a couple verses really quick that show us that community was actually intended to be in our life from the very, very, very beginning of time. This concept of community was intended. Chapter 1, verse 26 says this, "Then God said, let us," he's talking about God, the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, "us make man in our image." I don't want to go too much into like the whole Trinity concept. It's really difficult to understand. But that's another sermon. But this, even you can see here that our, interesting language there, in our image. So when I make this human, it's in our image. Go into the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 18. God just created Adam. He just created man. He says in verse 18, chapter 2, "The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone, and I will make a helper suitable for him." So God like makes man, and it's not like God's going, I missed something. How could I miss something? Like, God created like the universe and all these things. He's not like, oh, man, I forgot a step. No, God just looks down and he goes, you know what? There could be something better. And he says, man shouldn't be alone. And obviously, you know the rest of the story. He creates a woman, Adam, or Eve. Thank you. He creates Eve, right? He takes a rib out of Adam's chest and rubs a little dirt on it and makes a woman, obviously. And so we have this, like, oh, this guy and this girl. Now, a lot of you are going, oh, so I am destined to be married. I should have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It says in the Bible. God says it. Like, no. And for you gentlemen, it's not a pickup line. Yo, baby, you're not supposed to be alone. I'm just saying what God said, so what are you doing later? No. It's just the idea, the concept of a single individual person isolated in his entire life by himself is not what God is intended for us. We were intended to be in relationships with people. And that's actually how the church was from the very beginning intended to be. The church was intended to rely and work with the body. Relationships of other believers was intended to be in the church from the very beginning. That leads me to my second point, that community will make us more spiritually mature. If you're a Christian and you're not involved in some sort of a community of other Christians and you think you can just fly solo all the way to heaven, It's not going to be good. Because from the very beginning of time, we see that man's not supposed to be alone. And especially as a Christian, we're not supposed to be alone. And if you're involved in a house group, like that's why a heartbeat of one of this ministry, the heartbeat of this ministry really does, a lot of it rests on the house group. Because we understand without a shadow of a doubt, we believe this truth that we were meant to have others, right? Like, I got my small group of guys over here. Like, I love this group so much. And to watch them at times in love just be like, hey man, like, I hear what you're saying, but I see a red flag. I don't know if you saw that coming, but I just wanted to bring it to your attention because I feel like, you know, you'd be better off. But that kind of stuff oftentimes won't even hit us if we're kind of just doing our own thing. And it's just so this idea of being held accountable, having other wisdom and advice coming from the outside that we didn't even think of. Like, I didn't even think that what I acted like showed this. And Jesus himself, think about this, Jesus himself was in a community. He had a couple best friends, and then he had his 12 disciples. So he himself, the Son of God, Jesus, understood the importance of community. But here's the deal. If we're being influenced and we're being spoken into by the wrong crowd, if we're running with the wrong crowd and we're being too influenced by the wrong crowd, and they're saying, this is how you should live life, and this is most important, and if that doesn't line up with what the Word of God says and what God's will is, we're going to be in real trouble real soon. Because Proverbs 27:17, right? Has anyone heard this verse? For iron sharpens iron just like another brother sharpens another, right? Okay, so this idea of iron sharpening iron, and I've said this before, like we need someone else in our life pointing out like some flaws in love, pointing out some flaws and sharpening one another. But those two things have to be on the same page. Like, it's iron sharpening iron. We've got to be on the same page, want the same thing for each other. Like, if you were to just, Ryan said this earlier, I'll use this. If you were to have like iron and then butter, like that's not gonna sharpen anything, right? Like if you have a piece of iron and you just got some butter, it's going, you're like, come on, get sharper. And it's just not working. It's just like, yeah, because they're not the same. And here's where I'm going with this. That crowd, maybe at school, maybe that the crowd you kind of run with too much. It's too much influencing you to be someone that you shouldn't be. And I'm not saying leave that crowd, but are they influencing you too much? Are they saying this is how you should live, and in reality, that's just a lie? Like that poor girl every year in American Idol, the first couple episodes, all of her friends are saying, you are the best singer I've ever heard, and so she believes it, whatever, like the bottom of her heart, she's like, I know I'm the best singer, and like, you kind of know what's coming, because in the interview, like, they do this documentary on this, like, poor woman, and like, and she's just like saying, yeah, you know, I'm gonna go like triple platinum like next year, I sing all the time, I sing in front of my friends, you know, at parties, I've never had a gig in my life, but like, I'm gonna go triple platinum, it doesn't matter. And then she gets on to American Idol in front of Simon, and she goes, okay, are you ready for this, Simon? Like, I'm gonna blow your mind. Okay, and she just starts singing like, she sounds like a dude, and then Simon's like, okay, you are the worst singer I have ever heard. And so, like, seriously, leave, turn around, just leave, walk out the door. And Paul's like, no, just calm down, let me, that was bad, but I love your shoes. And so so she's just tricked and deceived, but this crowd that she ran with is like, yeah, no, this is great, you're gonna do great, and then she's exposed to the reality, the truth of the situation. You guys tracking with me? So we have to make sure, man, whatever community that we are in wants the same thing for us that we do and we know we need. Third, community creates a culture of unity, and unity is a really, really powerful thing. If you still have your Bible, go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. It's like on the polar opposite side of where you just were. It's in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. It's kind of in the middle of the New Testament. Going the wrong way. Ephesians 4. This is like an entire chapter that Paul just devotes to this concept of unity in the church. And he says this in verse 15. This is powerful. He says this in verse 15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Watch this, verse 16. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. In every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The body grows when each part does its work. So this is what I keep coming back to, this concept of the church, you guys, believers, Christians, needing each other, because when we're in a ministry and each person's doing its part in a ministry, unbelievable things can happen. If each one of you is playing a part, well, that means serving. If that means just consistently showing up, that means just contributing somehow to, you know, the importance of community, and yet you're concerned more with that than just being comfortable, because there's a difference. There's a difference between comfortability and community. We show up on a weekend and we're just trying to like, I gotta find my group as fast as possible. There you are. And then you kind of just hang out there with them the whole time. You go to sit in the same seat every time, and you don't really see what this place has to offer as far as that. That's missing the point. And finally, community is supposed to be, it's no other way to put it, it's just supposed to be a good time. Allow me to go non-spiritual for a second. God, if I'm allowed to go non-spiritual for a second. Community is just like, it's a good time. Like, sometimes you just want to build community for the sake of just having a blast. It's just that simple. Like, it's just that simple. As a ministry, sometimes we just want to create a good time because something happens within a place where you can just feel like this is a place I want to be a part of. And there's incredible and godly things that can come from that. I got a personal story about this. One of my best friends growing up in high school, his name was Michael. And I invited him to church one time. Now this kid was a goofball. He was a really popular kid. He was on my baseball team. He was a catcher, so he was just way too loud, just all the time, just yelling at everything. And so I'm like, okay, let's I'm gonna invite this kid to church. And he shows up to church, and I'm like, dude, so basically, I want you to be here because it's just a cool place. You know, it's a church. You're going to hear about God. No surprises there. But the guy gets up there. He's really cool. He's down to earth. You're gonna hear an awesome message. Like, you're going to hear some really loud music. Like, the bass is just too loud. Like, it's going to be fine. And afterwards, we just go in and out. We just slam double-doubles. He's like, wait, what? Okay, I'm in. And so I just basically said, man, this is a great place, and I want you to be a part of it. And he started coming. He started coming consistently. Then he came to camp. He accepted Jesus at camp. He came back. He started serving. He went on a mission trip. He went to college. He wanted to intern, so he interned. Right now, he is the pastor of that ministry. And no, I'm not saying, like, look what I did. Look at my witness. Look what's possible. No, I'm just saying that it all started. It was his relationship with Jesus, what he's doing right now. The fact that he's pastoring the ministry that he started showing up to is 100% was given a chance because he came into just a cool place and a great community. A great community. And guys, that's my heart right now. I'm going to step away from my notes for a second because I just feel like this is what I really wanted to accomplish today. I want us to be on board with this idea of committing ourselves to just building a community, not just a house group. If you got your eight friends and you're like, you know, this is all I need. No, that's not what I'm trying to do here. I want this place to be a place you want to be a part of. You want to come to church. I want this place to be some place that you can invite someone to come to church. And listen, here's the deal: the leaders, myself, Kyle, Austin, and Tanner, our interns, we're gonna create opportunity for community to happen, but it's you who make it happen. We're gonna do everything that we can to create the opportunity for you to create community, but it's up to you to do it. That space in the back, in that back hallway, it's got the black tarp over it right now. And just so you know, like, we're dreaming up, we're visioning up a way to see if it's possible and make that a lounge. I would throw a bunch of couches in there, if Wii is still cool, just some tables, some desks. Like, my dream is like, hey, let's just go, let's hang out at the student lounge before church or after church. Like, yeah, we're going to order pizza. We're going to play Settlers of Catan after church and just hang out. And not just because I want it to be like, yeah, I know, it's just fun. That's all it is. It's just a fun place. No, it's going with that same idea of making this a place you want to be a part of. And you want others to be a part of too. That's what happens when we go to camp. You'll see. We come back. There's something different when we come back. That's what happens when we go on a missions trip. You're able to connect and bond at a deeper level than you ever thought before. It's just these sorts of things. We want to create opportunities for you guys to be a part of something awesome. Let's say there's a captain of a boat, and he says, all right, everyone, we're rowing this way. You ready? We're on this huge boat. And this captain, and I'm not saying I'm the captain, that's weird. Hey, we're going this way. Let's say we're all on a boat. We're going this way. Everyone's got an oar. We start rowing. Some people are in the front, and they're rowing strong. They're buff, like Kyle Burks. Where are you at? And they're rowing like strong because, man, maybe they're plugged in. Maybe they're serving. Maybe they're on the Shake It team, where they're committed every weekend to just connecting with students. Like, whoever passed out your name tag today, they had like a goal in mind. They weren't just trying to find out your name. They wanted to just connect and make you feel welcome. Maybe you're doing that. Maybe you're diving deep into your house group. And all that to say, you're rowing hard in the same direction that captain said, we're going this way. Then maybe there's some of us who are just like, no, I'm just in the boat. Yeah, you guys can do the work. And you're just kind of letting everyone else row. Or maybe there's someone else who's rowing the opposite way. Maybe you're here and you're like, suckers. Like, you're rowing the opposite way because maybe there's some things that you're doing that's causing a little bit of division. Maybe there's some things that you're doing or you're saying that's going against what we're trying to accomplish as a ministry. And Ryan and I were talking this morning. We want everyone to be rowing the same way. We want everyone to be rowing the same way to understand, man, as a community, we have to be united. We have to be united in what we want for each other and what we want for this place. And so I just wanted to share my heart this morning, this weekend, as we're entering into an awesome stage of this ministry, and we've got a lot of great things ahead. I want us all to be on board. I want us to want this to be a place that we want to be a part of and others to be a part of as well. So you guys pray with me. Dear God, we're just, like I said, we're entering into a great time. Summer's coming, camp's tomorrow, new things happening, we're in a different grade now. There's a lot of cool change is about to happen. We just pray that you're on the front of our mind with all of that. Yeah, that we're focused on being a community. God, we're not focused on comfortability. We're focused on community, Jesus. And we pray that that you would lead the way in this. That you would once again just create the opportunity for us to be a part, to make a difference, to actually step it up in this area. And God, may we respond to that. In Jesus' name, amen.